word of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles and you want to read with me, Isaiah chapter number 30. Once again, would you stand tonight as we read from the word of the Lord? Amen. Isaiah chapter 30, reading verse 18 down through verse number 21. The other day as I was praying for this revival, this passage of Scripture came back to my mind, one that I probably hadn't visited to speak from in probably 10 or 12 years, but something just fresh the Lord dropped in my heart, and I want to share it tonight. And I really do want to try to be a blessing to you, and more so than that, I'd really love to see the Lord come by and do something good in the altars. Amen. Amen. I want to be a blessing to this pastor. I want to help him in the work of God that he is doing, and I'll try to bear the responsibility of the pulpit and do what I should do tonight. But ultimately, my prayer is that God comes by around this altar this evening and does something of eternal value and eternal importance. Amen. And I believe God will. Amen. And I'm not going to tarry long in the word of the Lord this evening, but would you keep an attitude of prayer throughout the message? Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. The Bible said, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the Lord, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." My text is in verse 21. Notice what God's word said one more time. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. May the Lord bless you as you're seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Notice this tonight. The Word of God said that you're going to hear a word not in front of you and not above you, but the Word of God said you're going to hear a word behind you. I want to talk to you tonight about God's voice from behind. God's voice from behind. If there's anything we know about man and mankind in general, we're travelers. We're on the move. Exploration. We're not satisfied very easy. We're always trying new things. And really, the story of God's Word is men on a journey. Unfortunately, it's not always a journey toward God. Sometimes it's a journey away from God. Matter of fact, tonight our pastor exhorted us that we should be pursuing and moving toward God. He said there are many that are not moving toward God. Some are moving away from God. But this one thing I know, you and I are on a journey. You may not realize it today, but you're on a journey. And either you're getting closer to God or you're getting further away from God. You're not the same person you were 24 hours ago. You say, man, my life doesn't change much. My life's pretty boring. Friend, I'll tell you this. You're getting closer to God or you're getting further away from God. Because especially being in the house of the Lord tonight, the Word of God being presented, we're all making decisions. We've made multitudes of decisions in this very own service tonight to either get closer to God or kind of move away from God. As we start in the book of Genesis, really, man is on a journey. At first, man is walking with God. In the cool of the evening, God comes down and he is walking with man. And there, man is walking with God. But unfortunately, man makes some bad choices and God has to leave them. And he will not allow them to stay in his holy presence. And so he drives them out. And there, man starts a journey away from God. But ultimately, the Old Testament is this. It's not one of ultimate failure, but it's one of great hope because God said, I'm not going to let men walk away from me. without any remedy or without any hope, but I'm going to send a ransom. And so in Genesis 3 and 15, in the midst of all of the tragedy of the Garden of Eden, in the midst of that terrible sin that entered this world as men started on a journey away from God, in the midst of all of that darkness, God said, I'm going to send the seed of a woman that will crush the head of the serpent. And so throughout the Old Testament, it is God showing us that there's going to be a perfect sacrifice, that there is going to be a ransom that will redeem us from sin. Sometimes it was as simple as Rahab putting a scarlet thread out the window, but it was scarlet. It was the picture. It was the picture of blood. That blood being shed was going to redeem men. It was as simple as God putting Noah in an ark with his family and shutting the door. And God saying that when I judge this world, if you put your faith in me, I'll put you in an ark of safety. And I'll shut the door and no man can open. It was as simple as Abraham crawling up on top of a mountain with a teenage son, bound to an altar and willing to sacrifice his precious son, the beloved son, the son of promise, as a sacrifice to the Lord. But God saying, because you've freely given me all things, there's a ram caught in the thicket. And can I tell you, friend, some years later, outside of Jerusalem on a hill, God looked down and there he gave his only begotten son. He was that ram in the thicket. He took our place. And so tonight, I'm glad to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Aren't you? And friend, we're getting closer to the Lord. We're getting further away from the Lord. But know this tonight. Know this. At the end of this service, you have a decision to make. You say, well, I didn't come to make a decision. You're going to make it one way or the other. You're either going to come to the altar and say, oh, God, I want to get closer to you. Or you're going to say, my life's pretty good the way it is. And you're going to get further away from God. But notice the sinner's attitude toward God in this text. The Bible said that God's voice was from behind. I don't know about you, but I was never allowed to talk to my parents with my back to them. If I turned my back to them when they were speaking to me, Brother Tim, I prayed, Jesus, come quickly, because the judgment was ready to come. Why? Because it's a sign of disrespect. Matter of fact, it's more than that. It was a sign that the sinner was walking away from God. It was God trying to get their attention. Would you please turn around? It was a sign of rejection. It was a sign that they were moving in the wrong direction. And so God said, I'm trying to call you in mercy. God said in this text, I am a God of judgment, and we know that. But yet he also said that if you'll cry, I'll be gracious. I will hear your cry. I will be good. Here's what I know about the God we serve. Before judgment comes, before the wrath of God's mercy, mark it down, that God has tried on a multitude of occasions to give mercy and to give grace and to show the loving nature of God. It's not God's judgment first and then love later. It's not God's judgment and then God's grace. But no, it's God's grace. It's God's love. It's God's mercy. Turn around. Receive me. Accept me. Now mark it down. There is a line drawn that if we cross that line, that God is a holy God, and there is a burning hell, and God will allow men to go to a burning hell. But before men fall into a Christless eternity, into a burning hell, God will do anything that he can to keep you out of hell. For the Word of God says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all. Matter of fact, God will even send his Son to Calvary. God will put Christ on a cross to keep me and you out of hell. I say, oh, what a great God. What a glorious God. What a wonderful God. Let me tell you, friend, tonight, God loves us so much, he gave his own Son. But yet in this text, men are walking away from God and God is trying to arrest them. It is the sinner's attitude toward God. They're ignoring God. Just disrespecting God. The world may disrespect God. They're on a journey away from God. This book says He is a God of grace, but He is also a God of judgment. Some tell us don't preach about hell. It scares people. Oh, to God for a thousand tongues to preach against hell to scare people. Tonight, if you and I had the spiritual ability to peel back the layers of earth to where hell would be seen by our eyes, the sight that we would behold and the sound that we would hear would drive us to the altar. I said it would drive us to the altar. If the people of God and the church of Jesus Christ one more time could get a fresh glimpse of that awful place called hell where men are going by the multiplied millions. If the blood of Jesus is not applied, then it would not be hard to get us motivated to win our family. It would not get us hard, or would not be hard for to motivate us to knock on a door or to call somebody on the phone or to pick them up for church. When a church loses their vision of hell, when a church loses the vision of a burning hell, then we lose our desire to see sinners saved. We lose our desire to see souls born again. But once again, if the things that break the heart of God would break the heart of the church, then the people of God would arise in the hour and to get men to turn around before it's everlastingly too late and find an altar of prayer. Thank God that you're in the ark. Thank God that you're saved. If your family's with you, thank God they're saved. But my God, there's millions upon millions that are dying lost. We have the answer. I said we've got the answer. Spread the news. Shout it from the housetops. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Call a picnic, everybody shows. Call a prayer meeting, the faithful few show. God, give us a picture one more time of a burning hell. The sinner's attitude toward God is one that's walking away. But notice this, God's attempt to reach the sinner. God's attempt to reach the sinner. The sinner's walking away from God. You say, man, God's a hard God. Well, if He was really a hard God, then He'd just let them go. If He was really that hard, He'd just let them go. But as that sinner is walking away from God, God calls out to them and said, my voice is from behind. Thine ears shall hear. Thine ears, that God will speak to you. There's a measure of faith given to every man. But what word? Notice this, He said, thou shalt hear a word. What word would God speak to the sinner? I'm not supposing that I have the mind of God tonight, but His Word does give us a few clues on how God does reach the sinner. I know one word that God speaks to the sinner, and that's now. Now. God never says tomorrow. God never says next week. You say it's Tuesday night. I'll tell you the word God has for you right now. It is now. Matter of fact, the Bible says that now is the day of salvation. Right now is the acceptable time of the Lord. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till the next revival. You don't have to wait till tomorrow night. But we're serving a God of right now. God doesn't want to talk about yesterday, and He doesn't give us the promise of tomorrow, but it's right now. I said it is right now. And if you're on a journey away from God, hear me tonight. God's word is be saved today. Be saved right now. Amen. Get up from the sin. Get up from the sorrow. Get up from the disappointment. Turn back to God and say, God, I love you. God, would you give me another chance? God, would you put the pieces to my life back together again? Do it, oh God. I remember that little story about the boy trying to put his puzzle together in Sunday school. It was a picture of Jesus. And the boy was having trouble. And then as they began to help him, they realized on the other side was also a map of the world. And as you put the pieces to the puzzle, to the face of Jesus, then the world also came back together again. Can I tell you, you say, oh, I'd like to put my life back together again. There's a lot of discouragement in the world we live in. there's a lot of hopeless people. And we're wanting hope without Christ. We're wanting joy without Jesus. We're wanting peace without God. But friend, it goes hand in hand. Your world is never going to be put back together again until Christ is alive in your heart and your life. What word? Now. Secondly, repent. Repent. That's a foreign word. That's a word not being preached from many pulpits, but I'm so glad when I got saved, they were still preaching old time salvation. They talked to me about a heaven that was holy, that a hell that was hot, and a Christ that was holy. I'm glad when I got saved. Amen. I prayed all the way through. Man, at 7 years old, about the worst thing I ever did was steal my sister's bubblegum money. But I was still a sinner. I was still going to hell. I can remember being a little boy at 7 years old, sitting right where he's at in my dad's church. I can remember tears coming down my face. I just said, what is that? I remember just bowling my head off. He said, that's conviction, son. That's God trying to get a hold of your heart. That's God wanting you to be saved. My grandmother, she's 87 now, still lives by herself, still plays the piano in my home church. She'll shout at the drop of a hat, drop the hat herself. I mean, I'm claiming those genes in my life. I'm believing that mantle is on me. Hallelujah. I remember Dad preached that Sunday night, 7 years old. I looked over at my grandmother playing the piano. She had a 3-story hairdo. Man, it was high. One of those old Pentecostal hairdos that when she'd get to shouting, bobby pins looked like machine guns. I mean, it was up there. She was playing. Amen. My dad preached. Conviction got a hold of me. Amen. I knew I needed to go to that altar. I'm telling you, as God is my witness, I couldn't even look up at the man of God. He was my dad, but there was some conviction in my heart. I was bowed over. I looked at my grandmother. She just kind of playing the piano. She kind of gave me a little bit of a Pentecostal nod. She just kind of pointed toward the altar. Kind of said, do like that. That's all I needed. I hit that altar at 7 years old. Amen. I left a puddle of tears. I got up that night. I made some mistakes. But I can take you back to the spot in a little church on a dead-end street in Dayton, Ohio, where I gave my heart to Jesus. My sins were washed away. He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm glad, so glad. I said, I'm glad, so glad. I'm a born-again child of God. How about you tonight? I said, friend, God so loved, He gave His Son. You glad to be born again? Why don't you just give the Lord a good praise tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Now. Do it right now. You got to repent. You can't just cry some crocodile tears. You know what crocodile tears are, right? I never realized this, but it comes from the Reader's Digest, so it's got to be true. The crocodile tears. But a crocodile, you know, they'll say he's crying crocodile tears. And I always thought that, well, that's fake tears. He just don't mean it. Well, they say that a crocodile, when a crocodile eats his prey, that there is a chemical reaction in his tear ducts. And it actually looks like he is crying as he is munching down on his prey. He looks sad, like he's crying, but he's actually killing his prey. And so we say, he's crying. Aren't you glad you come to church tonight? You've been enriched. You've been enlightened. You're going home much better than you came because you know that. Crocodile tears. You can't come to the altar. You can't come to the altar and just cry crocodile tears. You got to mean it. You've got to give Him your heart. You've got to submit. You've got to take Him as Lord. You've got to take Him and say, Lord, You're in charge of my life.
God, I want to please you with everything I do. I'm not looking for a get out of jail free card. I'm looking for a Lord and Savior. I'm not looking for a quick fix. I'm not looking for some emotion. I'm looking for a home in glory. I'm looking for a Savior. I'm looking for a Redeemer. Hey, friend, you do that. I said, God will save you, but you've got to do it now. You've got to repent, and you've got to come. The Bible said that in Revelation chapter number 20 and 2, here's what God was speaking to His people, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that seareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You've got to get up and come. Amen. That's my message tonight, friend. Do it right now. Do it tonight. Repent. But you got to come. Let me stand today and say the ark is still open. Come one, come all. Rich and young, poor and old. I say come, come to the ark of safety. Hallelujah. Whosoever. God's attempt toward man. Thirdly and finally, let me give you this and I'm done. If I understand this text, here's what I know. That the path of the sinner is not permanently set. God speaks about judgment, but He also speaks about grace. So what I know is this, that the path of the sinner is changeable. The path of the sinner is changeable. You say, well, my daddy was a drunk, I'll be a drunk. My granddaddy was an addict, I've got to be an addict. My grandmother died of this, I'll die of that. Friend, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you tonight. Come on to that altar. That's all fine. You're good. You're good. Come on. Some of you pray with her tonight. Do it now. Hey, this is what it's all about. Do it now. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. The path of a sinner can be changed. Why don't we stand all over this building tonight? Let's give God some praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody else wants to come tonight. I said maybe somebody else tonight. The Lord wants to do a work in your life. Come on right now. Come on right now. Hallelujah. Come on right now. Tonight. 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 Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're redeemed tonight, come on, let's give God praise. Friend, I believe tonight if there's anything that brings revival, it's sinners being born into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes.